Everybody has a story, and everyone's story matters. I truly believe that there are few things in life that are more powerful and important than us sharing our stories with the world. Here on Talk That Talk podcast, that is exactly what we're all about. Tune in each week to hear the story of my guest, myself, or honestly, something else entirely. My hope is that you will listen and leave feeling encouraged and that you know that your story matters. Hey friends, welcome to the show. On the podcast today, I have a great friend of mine. Her name is Kara, and we are talking all things relationships. She is married to Jacob, and they've been married for 2 years, I believe, at this point. And so we're going to talk about her experience from dating to getting engaged to getting married and the different transitions of that, as well as how you can be a good friend in the midst of that. So if you are the person getting married, how can you be a good friend to your single friends as you transition into marriage, because your friendship will look different? And for single people, how can you be a good friend to your friends who are getting married? So we talk about all of that. It's really good. It was really encouraging for me. So I'm excited for you guys to hear it. The first few minutes of the podcast, you won't be able to hear Kara's voice. So just hang tight. She is going to be here. I just wasn't recording her properly. but I hope you enjoy. Hi, Kara. Welcome to the show. For those of you who don't know Kara, this is my friend Kara Bonner. Used to be Evans, right? The other day I found myself literally asking myself what your last name used to be. And I don't remember who I was talking to, but I was literally like, what did Kara's last name used to be? I couldn't remember what it was. And I had to look you up on Instagram or something to figure out it was Evans. So anyway, Kara and I met in college at IUP. So we met, I think, my sophomore or junior year in college. And we met through some friends in Young Life. And Kara, you came around to Young Life stuff, Young Life College, I think mostly, and then you led for a little while, and then you and Jacob was another leader in Young Life at the time, you guys got together, eventually got married, and stayed in Indiana for a little bit, and then now you guys are in Greensburg, and we've been friendly, I would say, the whole time. We never disliked each other. But as far as I know, but I would say we probably became friends and good friends, I don't know, within the last 3 years, 2.5 years, before you guys moved to Greensburg, I would say, but after college. So it's been fun getting to be friends with you and know your story a little bit better than I did when we were around each other in college. But, okay, so me and Kara have talked about doing this for a long time, and mainly just discussing marriage, specifically transitioning from being single to getting engaged or even dating to getting engaged and then getting married and what that transition looks like. A lot of my friends are going through one of those stages. I would say a lot of people our age, you know, are at least starting to kind of go through some of those things. And I think especially as Christians, we have this picture of what that should look like, that marriage is, you know, the ultimate thing, and that it should just be this very easy, smooth transition because you are, you know, marrying your best friend and everything should just be good and it should just happen right away. And I've really appreciated having honest conversations with you, Kara, about how that's kind of not always true. And I appreciate your realness and your willingness to share your story. So with that, do you just want to kind of start from the beginning and talk about how you and Jacob kind of came to know the Lord and how you guys met each other and carry on from there?
So before going to college, I grew up in the church. My family and I went to a Methodist church, and I kind of like got all the basics from going there, as far as like I heard about God, I knew the Ten Commandments, you know, all of those things. But it wasn't the healthiest church, and there wasn't like a lot other than the Sunday service as far as community or like youth events or anything like that. So it was kind of always one of those things that I like knew about, knew I was supposed to be doing, and, you know, following rules and things like that. But that was kind of all it was for me for most of my life. And then I went to college, so went to IUP, and I roomed with a friend from high school, and we like had been close in middle school and high school and things like that. But the summer before college, she went to Young Life Camp. It's a mutual friend. Brett knows her too. Michelle.
Shout out to Michelle.
So she went to Young Life Camp this summer before we went to college and did not really know the Lord until then. And so she like came to Christ that summer and came to school like our freshman year in the fall, like on fire for Jesus. And I was like, this girl is crazy. Like, I have known about Jesus my whole life. Why is she acting like it's this new thing or that it's like so great? It was really bad, actually. Kind of like drove a wedge between us for a while because I just did not understand all the hype about it. And
yeah, I mean, it's normal, I think, to anyone who's not experienced it. And I had a very similar reaction when my friend, you know, came home from camp in high school. So I get it. It is weird because you're like, what?
Exactly. And like looking back on it now, obviously, like I feel terrible because it was so good for her. And not that I like discouraged it by any means, but I was not like the supportive friend, like, that's awesome, good for you. But she got involved in Young Life while we were at college, so found Indiana Young Life and was really like a part of that community and started going through leader training to be like a college age leader for the high schools in the area. And it was probably a good couple months of her like really spending a lot of her time there before I was really willing to give it much thought or chance. But she invited me. I want to say it was just kind of a hangout event at first, with like some of the people in Young Life. And I went to that and had a lot of fun. You know, the Young Life environment is just like so cool, especially in that area at the time. Just felt like really welcomed, and it was so laid back and fun and lighthearted, and could just like feel something different in those people and in the relationships there. So I kind of started going to more things. You know, it was a positive experience, so kept up with that and started going to Bible studies and different things before eventually kind of deciding to jump in myself and go through leader training. And like Britt kind of mentioned, I was more a part of Young Life College. So I was a college leader for like the college students at IUP. And part of that community was Jacob, like you mentioned. So he actually had Young Life at his high school. So he had exposure to it already in high school. His family, they've always been really involved in their church. He kind of had a similar mindset, though. Like, he went, he did the things, but he wasn't necessarily in a relationship with God at the time. And then coming to college in, like, the August before leaving for college, his father passed away suddenly in an accident. So he came to college and was in a really tough spot, like, left within 2 weeks after losing his dad.
I can't believe he still came to college, honestly.
I know.
Like, I don't know that I would have been able to go. So that's...
Yeah. We've talked about it a lot because I don't know that I would have either. And he's like, yeah, it was just kind of one of those things. Like, I think his mom really encouraged it because, you know, what else is he going to do besides, you know, be at home? She really pushed for it and it ended up being the best move. But yeah, I cannot imagine all the transition at once.
No.
But he came to school and was just kind of looking for, you know, needed that core group of friends, some kind of support during that transition. And surprisingly enough, Brian, the area director for Indiana Young Life, showed up to help him during move-in day when he was coming to IUP. So I was through contacts from his high school Young Life leader and things like that, but they got in touch. So he met Brian really early and was also a leader during his time in college. So that opportunity to just build that healthy community of supportive friends to just get you in the right direction through college was crazy beneficial for us. College, you know, you can just go so many ways, and we both are so thankful that that's the path that God had for us to just really, you know, be able to dive deep with real relationships and grow our relationships with Christ in school rather than having this list of our regrets and things that we wish we wouldn't have done in school, which we have plenty from beforehand, but it was just a really great opportunity. So we both met, we were friends whenever I started going to Young Life events. We both came out of relationships in high school and didn't necessarily have a desire to be in a new relationship by any means. When we met, and it was like this big joke amongst all of our friends, like, oh, I think Jacob's interested in you. And I was like, I'm going to go hide in a corner. Like, no, thank you. It was terrible. Not that there's anything wrong with him, believe me. I was like more so overwhelmed because I felt like I was like this new Christian, you know, just grasping the idea of like what it means to have a relationship with the Lord.
Were you scared because you like felt yourself liking him too?
Yeah, I mean, I was in terrible relationships before that. High school, early college. So it's not like it was anything overly serious, but it was just really unhealthy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I was more so terrified, like, of being in that situation again.
Okay.
And just feeling like I had no idea how to have a relationship that was anything but unhealthy.
I forget. Sorry, I'm interrupting you, but I forget the answer. Did you get out of your relationship and then kind of really commit your life to the Lord, or did that happen while you were still in the relationship and you had to end it after?
So I was out of the relationship for a while, but we were still kind of doing that, you know, like we're not together, but we could get back together kind of thing.
Yes.
For that a while beautiful after dance. I had come to Christ. Yes. Okay. So, and that's kind of what really just like ended things officially, because after, you know, I gave my life to Christ, it was like, okay, this is different now. Like, I need you to be on board. And if I'm going to be, you know, in a serious relationship, then I need somebody to push me and be going in the same direction. And I tried to, you know, go to church with him and things like that, but it just like wasn't happening. So I officially ended things, after I had really come to Christ, I guess, for the final time. So it was just really intimidating because I knew that Jacob had a background, you know, in a relationship with God and in Young Life, and he had it all together, and I was like, oh boy, yep, that's too much for me right now.
At least on the outside, look, you know, looking from the outside, maybe.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time now. I'm like, remember when I used to be intimidated by you? Because, like, now I know everything, and it's, I mean, not that he's not great, but you find out everyone's quirks, you know?
Yeah,
but I was, like, terrified, and so we just did a lot of, like, hanging out in groups of friends. I didn't want to commit to anything else. Eventually, after a while of that, he did ask me on a date, and I almost died. And then I had to do it. I, like, remember laying on my bedroom floor after he asked and had left and was just like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do? It was terrifying, but we went on a date, and it was so good. We went for coffee and were there for probably 3+ hours, just like
at the Common Place.
Yes, at the Common Place. Wow. Still nostalgic. Yeah. But we talked there for like hours, like 3+ hours probably, and it was just like the conversation was flowing naturally, and he made me feel comfortable and was so easy to talk to, and we had a lot in common, and I was still a big chicken, so even after that, it was probably a few months of just like, yeah, we'll see how this goes kind of thing. before really deciding to commit to, like, we are in a committed relationship.
Yeah.
So that was a lot. Like, so it just was a lot of dates like that, just going very slowly. He was and is a very good communicator, and just kind of had to push me out of my shell for that whole process as far as, like, how are you feeling today? How did you feel that time together went? Because I was just working through a lot at the time. Like I said, I had just come to Christ and just gotten out of a bad relationship and was trying to figure out what my life looked like now.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a slow process, but he was patient with me. And after probably 5 or so months of just that slow, like, one date at a time kind of thing, we decided to start dating officially. And it's kind of just taken off from there. We dated for a year. We were engaged for a year. And then we got married. And we've been married for a little over 2 years now.
Wild.
Yeah.
Wild.
It's flying by.
Wait, so you guys went on dates for 5 months, you said? Before you started dating? Wow.
October, I think, that we went on, like, a first date. And we didn't actually start dating until February.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, almost 5 months.
But once you started dating, were you, like, I'm in kind of thing? Like, once you started officially dating, were you, like, all right, yeah, this is serious? Or were you still kind of like, I don't know?
No, I definitely was in, and I think that was the thing. Like, we both were in a place where, like, we didn't want to date just for fun or just to, like, fill time.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why it took so long. Like, we both kind of wanted to know more about each other and figure out what each other, you know, wanted out of life to know, like, is there potential for a future here?
Mm-hmm.
Before we really started, like, taking things seriously. Now, it was, after that, it was like we could have been married the next day.
Yeah.
It just, like, we really did a lot of that, like, vetting out process, and it was just really intense. Like, all of the initial dating was very intense as far as communication and intentionality, which, like, I was, like, a sweaty mess all the time and was not used to that. But it was awesome. Like, it taught me so much about communication and about, you know, what's important in relationships. But yeah, not long after we started officially dating, I told my mom, like, oh, let's plan a wedding for next year. And she was like, you are a nut.
Oh my gosh.
After we decided, it was like, okay, that's it. So yeah, no questions asked then.
So you guys you got engaged in February, you started dating in February. That was your senior year, right?
I think so.
And then
did school kind of all together.
That was your third,
so it kind of blends together, but yes,
that was your third year of undergrad because you graduated early. So
yeah
I'm pretty sure, because I was a senior that year. And then
yeah, that would make sense then.
So you graduated that May, your undergrad, and then the following fall you went back to school for your master's.
Yes.
So you guys got engaged the following February.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, a year after.
And then we're engaged for over a year?
Yeah, about a year and a half, I guess, from, like, February to the following June.
Okay, what was that like? How was that, being engaged for a year and a half? Was that hard?
Yes and no. I am really happy with that timeline, but it definitely had its struggles. Like, a lot of my friends recently have done a lot shorter engagements.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, once you decide, like, you're ready, and it's like, what are we waiting for? And you just have, like, so much more time to stress and anticipate. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely get the benefit of that for sure. For us at the time, like you said, we were both still in school.
Right.
And that was the saving grace that made it mm-hmm. work well. I'm, like, naturally a stressor. Like, I like to have all my ducks in a row. And if they're not, I get worked up. And so, like, it really helped me to have that time because I was in school. I was doing internships. He was in school. And then we were trying to plan a wedding, and so it was just really nice. Like, that timeline allowed it to be really fun and helped us to, like, enjoy the process and not feel like we have so much going on at once and, like, we're getting married in a month.
Yeah.
So it was cool, and we tried to just, like, enjoy it, because I know, like, there's so much stigma of wedding planning being so stressful.
Mm.
And I just don't think it needs to be. You know, like, it's supposed to be a fun time, and I don't want to feel like I'm stressing over every little detail. So we really tried to, like, break things up. Like, it would be like, okay, right now we're working on where we're going to get our cake. And, like, that was the priority for that week or that month or whatever. And we, you know, just focus on that and, like, okay, check that box. What else can we do now? And I also lived at home for a lot of that part, like, a lot of that portion, because I did my internships back at home.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So that was helpful as far as, like, being engaged with for that long and trying to be mindful of physical separation.
Yeah.
For that much time, it definitely was helpful because I was at home 5 days a week at least, if not more, and I had to be at IUP sometimes and had to be at IUP. I worked there on the weekends at a restaurant and things like that. So I was back and forth, but a lot more time was spent at home. So
and apart from each other.
Yeah, exactly. Which kind of was a good transition, too, for both of us to, like, have our time to prepare and still feel like we had our time as, like, individuals for that period.
Yeah.
While we were planning for that.
Mm-hmm. Then you got married in June of 2018.
Yep.
I was there.
And you were killing the dance floor.
It rained during your ceremony. And everyone got up. Everyone's sitting in the freaking audience. Yeah, I am, because it was so rude. I mean, I get it, but we were all sitting there. It started, like, lightly drizzling, and then it did get a little bit heavier, and a lot of people started to, like, get up and go stand under the tree or whatever. And then you couldn't really hear Mel, who was officiating the wedding. You couldn't really hear what he was saying. And I was so mad. And then, like, me and Caleb and Nick and Katie, I think, we all just sat there. We just sat through it because I wanted to hear what he was saying. Oh, yeah, I was irritated. But I get it. And I don't think you guys cared too much, so that's all that matters. But you guys were under a gazebo, so it was not – the rain wasn't hurting you, so it was good. But, yes, the reception was really fun. The dancing was really fun. That may be one of the most fun weddings I've been to. Cause I think,
and now it's recorded. You can't take it back.
No, I mean it, though. Yeah. Like, it was fun. I remember your playlist. You had a lot of good songs.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
For sure.
So you get married, and it's been 2 years, and what was that like? Yeah, like, tell us about how it was going from being engaged to being married all of a sudden.
It is a whirlwind, I think, is the best way I have to put it practically. It's been so great, but there's so much that changes all at once.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're engaged, I feel like everybody is, like, there and supporting you. It's like, how are you doing?
Yeah.
More like, how are you feeling? What are your plans for finances? What are your plans for roles in the marriage? Like, everybody is trying to support you. And then all of a sudden, you get married, and they're like, yay, you're married! And
bye!
That's it. Like, you're just this married family couple, like, and you're like, what do we do?
Okay, I was just talking to my friend about this on Monday, which is crazy, but we were talking about that because I asked her, because she just got married in July, and I asked her, like, how are you guys doing? And I kind of felt weird asking her because I was like, well, this is her husband now, and, like, I don't want to pry into their private life. But at the same time, I was thinking about that. I was like, we used to talk almost every day, me and her, about everything, about the wedding, about their engagement, about their relationship, and I, like, you know, always kind of knew how she was feeling, whatever. And then all of a sudden, you're right. It's like, okay, well, now you're married. So you guys, like, it's your thing. You figure it out. Like, good for you. And, but I think from the outside looking in, I think maybe sometimes people feel that sense of, oh, I don't want to intrude. That's how I felt, at least. Mm-hmm. But I can totally see how that could be kind of lonely for someone to be, like you said, getting all this support, and then you then you wake up, you're married to, you know, someone you love, but someone that you haven't lived with them before, you know, most likely, or whatever. And, like, this is all new, and then it's, like, no one's there asking you for support. So would you suggest people still asking you those things, or, like, how would you have wanted people to be showing up in those early days, I guess?
I think definitely asking, and it's hard, like you said, because there is something to be said about, you know, the covenant that is marriage and that commitment and that, you know, this is your priority now, you know, and this is your family. And there's some things that just don't go outside of your marriage anymore. As far as, like, it's not necessarily the healthiest thing to be, you know, talking about all your problems to everybody and everything like that. But also, you know, it's new and you don't know what you're doing. And sometimes you just need an outlet that's, you know, outside of your marriage, even to just, you know, be a listening ear, a sounding board. Yeah, and I think, I guess that would be it, really, is just kind of, you know, checking in. And I think the hard thing is we also got married young, which, you know, I don't regret at all. I'm thankful for hopefully the many years to be together from that opportunity. But we didn't have a lot of friends who were married or, you know, seriously dating or anything like that to kind of, I guess, be in the mindset of that. Like, hey, this might be kind of hard. How are you doing?
Like, yeah.
The mindset is just, like, end goal. Like you said, like, you made it. You're married. Woohoo! Like, life's good. And it's great, but it's a learning curve. It's not, like, day one, everything is blissful and perfect. I actually, I tell the story a lot, but day one, actually cried everywhere.
day one or night one?
Well, night one also.
Okay, tell us about day one.
Day one. Okay, so I'm talking, I guess technically it's day two if it's the day after.
Well, yeah, I know what you mean. You're not crying at your wedding. You're crying the next day.
Right.
Okay.
So, the next day, I think, like, I kind of touched on, but, like, my previous relationships were very toxic, and it was kind of, you know, things seemed okay, they seemed okay, and then it just kept getting worse, and you just, like, saw all these bad things come out. So through the whole process of, like, dating, engagement with Jacob, you know, there was nothing, like, there was no red flag, there was no, like, nothing that we really had to, like, work through before we got married.
So you were just kind of waiting?
Yes. So the whole time, I'm like, this is great, yeah, he's awesome, yeah, he loves Jesus, yeah, we're getting married. And then, like, it actually happened, and I came home, we came home the next day, and I was like, oh my gosh. We are here, we are married, and this is my husband, and nothing went wrong, and I sobbed like a baby.
Were you just scared?
Yeah, and I think it was just so overwhelming, like, almost like I was holding back this whole time, just waiting for something to, like, come up and change plans, and this isn't actually going to happen. And then it happened, and it was crazy.
Gosh, yeah. I've never really thought about that before, like, how you plan for something for a long time, and then one day you wake up and it's your reality, and you're like, wait, like, I've been ready, but all of a sudden you're in it and you don't feel ready, maybe?
Yes. Yeah, and people, like, joke about their, like, post-wedding depression kind of thing, you know, because everything's, like, so fun, and all you're talking about is flowers and dresses and cake and partying, and it's so fun, and then you know, you're kind of done planning for all the fun stuff, and you're like, well, now what? So I think that may have been a little part of it also, of just kind of, like, coming down from all of that. But really, I think it's just the overwhelming part of, now I have this boy that lives in my house and is here all the time and shares all my things and my space, and we're gonna do this forever.
Yeah. Holy heck.
Yep. It's really crazy. And one of my favorite stories is that, like, one, like you said, a lot of our friends are in this phase of getting married, and one of my close friends got married last fall, and I met with her a few weeks after her wedding. It was just like, how are you doing? You know? Mm-hmm. She was like, it's so weird. Like, the first day I went to change and I was like, do I go to the bathroom? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's so real. Like,
this is your husband. What do you do?
I really think it's kind of a to each their own sort of thing. Like,
yeah.
It's your husband. And if you feel comfortable, I mean, you're supposed to be able to share everything, right? And be vulnerable. But, like, that doesn't mean you want to, or
or you have easy. To, I guess. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it's crazy. And that's the sort of thing that I just feel like is not, like, talked about or prepared for. Like, mm-hmm. all the support is there, and then it's like, you made it, and you're married, and all of that emotional stuff that comes with such a big transition is just kind of left on the table a lot of the time. And at least personally, like, I didn't even consider how challenging that would be to work through, because it's just supposed to be like, we're married and we're happy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and, like, I think you kind of said this, but especially as Christians, I think we are always like, let me help you prepare for marriage. Like, you're, you know, like, you're dating. Like, let's make sure that your dating relationship is healthy and you're preparing in a healthy way for marriage. And you're engaged. Let's make sure that you're working through some of these emotional things and you're working through some of your baggage that so that you're prepared for marriage. And then you get married and it's like, okay, we've prepared you for this, so good luck, you know?
Yes.
And, like, you don't think about it that way, obviously. As someone who's had a lot of friends get married, I don't think about it that way, but it's kind of, it's unintentionally sending the wrong message. I think that this is it. Like, this is it. We've prepared you for it. Like, this is all you need. You should be happy now. You shouldn't have any problems now. When, I mean, reality, marriage is great, I'm sure, but it also is two messy people living together now and dealing with each other's messes. And so there's bound to be challenges with that, especially at a young age when, you know, you guys, like you said, you didn't have a lot of married friends. You haven't lived as much life as couples who get married in their 30s or whatever. And you're still learning how to be adults, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I think that alone is a good lesson for me, at least, just to know that my married friends, especially newly married friends, probably still need, definitely still need support. And it doesn't necessarily look the same as it did when they were single, but you still need that. So what else was, like, the most, I guess, surprising to you about that transition and adjusting?
I think the biggest thing, I mean, kind of touched on, but the hardest thing for me was just, like, the amount of vulnerability that comes with being married to somebody. You know, you date and you're engaged, and in, you know, Christian relationships, you really try to value guarding your heart during that time and, you know, sharing and growing with a person, but also making sure that you're not going too far, that you're not, you know, acting like you're married when you're not. And so, you know, up until the day you're married, you're giving a lot to this person, but not everything. And all of a sudden you're married, and within, you know, our ceremony probably took 30 minutes tops. Within 30 minutes, it's like, okay, and now that's it. And there's, like, no restraint. And I just think that the vulnerability, like I said, of changing, like, not having your own space to change your clothes all the time, or, like, wake up first thing in the morning and have gross breath and messy hair and zits everywhere and your baggiest pajamas, like, I don't know, and just, like, all of those things that, you know, like, you get home from working out and you're sweaty and gross, like, the whole time you, like, date and are engaged, not that you're not real, but I think you have more opportunities to, you know, put on your best face around your partner. So it's just a lot, you know, and I've kind of always struggled with insecurity and, like, self-esteem and things like that. So I think it just really was highlighted in the beginning stages of our marriage, just, like, how much that still, you know, affects me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's a guy thing necessarily, or, you know, Jacob is a people person. Mm-hmm. He can talk to anybody and, you know, nothing really bothers him. So I don't think that he had the same experience of, you know, really feeling like that was challenging, but in some ways that made it harder for me because I felt like, you know, I'm not being a good wife, or I'm not as ready for this as he is, or something like that, just because, you know, I felt like it was challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, what's wrong with me? Like, do you feel like you kind of made yourself, or put some pressure on yourself in the sense of, like, yeah, I'm a newlywed. I'm supposed to be really happy. This is supposed to be the easy part, kind of a thing, and I'm struggling. Like, do you feel like you had thoughts like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, I mean, so much of our marriage has been really, really good. And so, like, I definitely don't want to paint a picture that it's, like, terrible and people shouldn't get married, because that's not it either.
Yeah. No, yeah.
But you are so taught and told that, you know, and I think for women especially, there's this mindset of, like, the goal is to be married, yeah, right? And, like, that's not true. But once you're there, you're like, okay, I did it, you know? Like, this is bliss. I should be happy forever. And it's just not reality. And when you find yourself in those moments of, like, I'm feeling insecure and I want to be by myself and I need space to mentally work through these feelings or whatever, it's, yeah, definitely really tough spot to feel like, what's going on here, you know? This isn't how it's supposed to be, or what are we doing wrong? What do we need to do differently?
Do you feel like you had moments of realization of that, like, oh wow, marriage isn't everything? Like, do you feel like you had moments of disappointment in that way?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's so, so good. But there are a lot of times where you're like, oh my goodness, like, this is hard. You know, why am I setting myself up for this when before it was all about doing whatever I wanted? You know, like, you definitely realize how selfish you are very, very quickly. One of the biggest things was, like, finances, and I'm pretty reasonable, I would say, as far as managing money, like, but I like to shop and I like clothes, and so, you know, when it was just my money, it was like, oh yeah, I'll spend this money on sweaters this week, and then I just will, you know, save on other things and
just
it was
eat less.
My call to make. Yeah, exactly. It was my call to make, and, like, now, you know, it's a different world. One, Jacob manages money much differently and much tighter than I would. Which is a good thing for me, but also just, like, doesn't prioritize clothes or getting your hair done or makeup. Like, he's never had to, so he has no idea that, like, girls do this stuff and it costs a lot of money. And I was like, what do you mean I shouldn't just go shop and spend however much I want?
Like, yeah.
It's really crazy how much you're like, ooh, yeah, I have somebody to consult about all of my decisions now.
And you're like, and I don't want to.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You don't.
I mean, I think, yeah, with marriage, even a roommate really comes more accountability, you know, than when you're by yourself or when you only have yourself to think about. There's no one necessarily there all the time to be like, hey, is that the best decision? You know, because you don't have to worry about that. So, yeah, I can only imagine. I'm sure, and at times that's a great thing, you know, to always have someone there to run things by and to consult and whatever. But I'm sure at other times it is very, very hard to, you know, just be like, can't you just let me do what I want?
Yes, definitely. It's so strange. But yeah, like I said, I mean, it's one of the benefits also is that, like, you always have this best friend there to be like, hey, I'm bored. You want to go get ice cream? Like, you always have somebody to hang out with right there.
Yeah.
You know, in a moment of frustration, you have somebody that you can just, you know, vent to really quickly or get some support from. And that's so awesome. But yeah, at least it also shows up in ways that you don't want it to. Whenever you're like, no, this time is just for me. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you guys work through all of that stuff of just, yeah, the transition and dealing with intimacy and, like, sharing space with each other? Like, how did you guys navigate all of those things?
We still are.
Yeah.
It definitely was hard. I mean, I struggled to be vulnerable in general. I struggled even more to be vulnerable as far as like physical intimacy goes. Mm-hmm. That's another thing I feel like is so under-supported for Christians. I mean, you're taught that you don't have sex until you're married, and you know, you're taught all these things about what Christian women should be, and that you should be pure, and that you should be modest, and all of these things. And then all of a sudden you're married, and it's like, well, now you should desire to have sex with your husband, and that's, you know, loving him well, and it's okay, and it's supported, and it's such a crazy, drastic mindset shift.
I bet.
And the emotional, you know, baggage that comes with all of that, you know, new vulnerability is so overwhelming. I cried a lot, and it was really hard. I think that's been, you know, the biggest struggle of our marriage so far, because, you know, like we mentioned, you don't want to feel like you're not being a good wife or you're doing something wrong. But also, like, being in a mind space of like, I cannot deal with how vulnerable I feel right now, or I don't feel good about myself and don't want to be in this position. Like, anything like that is just, you know, sometimes it's really hard to just get out of a headspace like that. And so, yeah, it was a lot of, you know, being in that space and just having to be real. And that's the vulnerability. It doesn't just go away in marriage whenever things are sticky. It's like,
right,
and I'm crying and really upset, and you're still here. And it's awesome. You grow so much through working through those things together. But it also, like, I mean, I struggled with, you know, really open communication for a while, and then being in this position of feeling vulnerable already and having to openly communicate about it was terrible.
So it was like, you're like, I feel upset because I feel so vulnerable, but not only that, I feel upset because I have to talk about how vulnerable I feel, and I don't want to. Gotcha.
I did a lot of, like, having conversations, staring at the floor, staring at the ceiling, like, okay, I'm getting these words out because I know it's what I need to do, but I am not happy about it.
Yes. Who can't relate to that? Yeah.
Yes.
So was it mostly, like, were you feeling afraid of, like, the other shoe dropping still, kind of, like, when you were dating? Was it that mixed with, like, insecurity mixed to it? Like, what was that, like, fear, vulnerability mixed in with?
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, it's this whole other level of your relationship that you haven't really had a chance to explore in dating and engagement. And so, yeah, it is like, okay, maybe this is going to be the time where, you know, things are bad, or things start changing negatively, or I'm going to do something wrong and it's going to, like, totally change the dynamic of our relationship. And for me, that was almost the big thing because, you know, like I said, we met and I was a new Christian. And so I'm still trying to figure out what that means. And I'm taught, you know, okay, well, women are supposed to be modest and, you know, love their family well, and they're supposed to be pure in a relationship and all of these things. And then all of a sudden, I'm also supposed to desire and want to be sexual with my husband. And it's like,
you're like, wait, like, I just learned how to not want that.
Yes. Like, this whole time you're like, no, that's bad and that's wrong and that's not what Christian women desire. And now
I'm not supposed to
be a good Christian wife.
Right.
Yes. And that is hard.
Yeah.
I felt like I still, you know, battle with feeling like if I'm, I guess, like, verbalizing that I want to have sex, or that, I don't know, anything along those lines, like, it really, I still struggle sometimes with, like, is that okay? Or is he going to view me differently? Because, you know, the whole time we dated and were engaged, that was not our conversation. And
yeah.
Yeah, it just feels like it's almost like a personality characteristic that's supposed to just change, but not, you know, alter your relationship.
Yeah. So would you say, like, it was hard, like, it was kind of one of those things where, like, wait, this is, like you said, this is bad, this is, like, dirty, kind of, and now I'm supposed to want this thing because miraculously, all of a sudden, it's now a good thing, and it's not dirty, and it's not bad.
Yes, and, like, how is that change supposed to happen so seamlessly?
Right, yeah.
And I'm worried about, like, our relationship, too, because we were really, you know, and still are, always trying to base our relationship on, you know, Christ's desire for us and in running after the Lord. And so it's this weird thing of, you know, we've spent all this time trying to guard our hearts from each other and protect ourselves. And now we're in a different place. And it was just nerve-wracking for me to be like, I thought that this relationship was supposed to look different. And, you know, we talked about all these things and now it's like out the window almost.
Yeah.
It's a different situation. And like that, ultimately, you know, God designed sex for marriage. And that's the big mindset shift is, you know, it's not just, you know, overnight things are different. And it feels that way. But it's, you know, about the commitment that you made and about loving your spouse, and that's the design, but trying to rationalize that is not always easy in your head.
Yeah, well, I think part of that too is, I think we talk a lot about, like you said, setting boundaries, and we really only talk about physical boundaries. Like, I would talk about this for hours. Like, we only tell people to set physical boundaries. And we never tell them about the emotional ones, which I think, personally, just from my own experiences, is just as important, if not more important sometimes. Like, man, if I could go back to every relationship I've been in and just set some emotional boundaries, like, I feel like the pain I would have saved myself, like, holy heck. But, yeah, I feel like we only talk about, make sure you set the boundaries. Make sure you set the boundaries. We don't talk about, well, one day if you get married, the boundaries kind of go away. Like, and that's a good thing. And the reason you're setting the boundaries is not because sex is bad or emotional intimacy is bad, but you're setting the boundaries because those are things that are meant to be protected. Like, they're such good things that they need to be protected for the right context. You know what I'm trying to say? But I think instead, women, like you said, especially women, we think and we're told kind of in a roundabout way that I'm not supposed to want this. I'm not supposed to desire this. I'm not supposed to have this. Like, that's it. Like, I'm just not supposed to want it, think about it, have it, whatever. And then all of a sudden, like you said, the flip is kind of switched and it's like, now you have it and now you should want it. And you're like, wait, I just trained myself for like 20 years to not want that. When really that's not the solution. It's it's something that we were created to want. Like, we were created to want intimacy physically and emotionally. And instead of, you know, like, repressing those desires, we should just be talking to each other about how it's good that we want those things. Those are good things. No matter how people have abused them in the past or we've abused them in the past, they're good things to be wanted that God wants us to have in His timing. And they're so good that they need to be protected, because where they get twisted is when we have them outside of that context. So, yeah, I don't think we think about, like, the repercussions of kind of almost shaming each other into not wanting those things. Not that we're trying to, but in a sense, it's almost kind of like you're dealing with shame now.
Yeah, for sure.
So is that something that Jacob, like, is that a guy thing too, or is that just a girl thing?
I mean, at least for him, it doesn't seem like it's been a similar issue. And I'm, you know, really thankful for his heart, because I know that, you know, the fact that I struggle with it so much has been challenging for him too. and we're, you know, learning and growing and working on it. But the fact that, you know, just because he's a guy doesn't mean he also doesn't desire to feel loved and desired and, you know, the same way that women do. And me being vulnerable or having a hard time being vulnerable and, you know, shutting down sometimes or crying in like a moment where, you know, you would hope to be able to be intimate and be comfortable is really challenging and has definitely, you know, affected him. And the fact that, you know, he desires to feel love from me too. And it's like, am I doing something wrong? Are you, do you not want to be with me? Like, that's definitely been tough, but he has been, you know, incredibly patient. And there's been a lot of those conversations staring at the ceiling or the floor, just trying to like explain.
You're like, turn around, put a pillow over your face. You cannot look at me. You cannot look at me when I say these next few words.
Yes, far too often. But, you know, that's what needs to happen because otherwise it's so easy for him to get in his head about like, oh, she just, you know, isn't attracted to me or doesn't want to be with me or like something like that. And that hard communication has been so vital for like keeping us connected that even if I can't look at him and I don't make fluent sentences, I can still be like, listen, it's not you. I'm just struggling with this in, you know, this way right now. And I think the best thing for me to do is, you know, take some time to myself, or I need to go, you know, spend some time with the Lord or whatever it is. But verbalizing that and helping him know, you know, what is really going on here is so important. Just like that transparency through all of it so that he's not thinking things that aren't true and just like drawing this wedge, you know, between us. And I mean, thankfully, like I said, he's been very patient. He's a really strong communicator and that's been so good because I don't know what I would do. Like, otherwise I would probably just shut down and it would not be pretty.
Yeah. Which would not help the situation, even though that's what you want to do. I'm sure. I'm sure that's what I would want to do too. Yeah. So you guys have communicated. That's kind of how you've made it through. And obviously depending on the Lord too. And how do you feel like you've seen God show up in those moments in the, you know, in the last 2 years of those challenges?
Yeah. I mean, really, and you know, we each have our own individual relationship with the Lord and then also are always, you know, working on how God's desires for us blend into our marriage. And so this is kind of one of those things that, you know, as much as it's about our intimacy and our connection between the two of us, has been a little more about our individual relationships and growth with God. Particularly for me, like, it's, he's always, you know, what can I do? How can I help? And it's really like, this is a heart thing for me. Like, I just needed to really focus on like the fact that I am not what I think I am in my head all the time, that I instead am, you know, exactly who God created me to be. And he put me in this marriage and he desires us to, you know, benefit from that relationship and to grow together and to be vulnerable and, you know, to have that relationship for what it's supposed to be. And so it's been a big heart thing for me to just be spending time with the Lord and to be in prayer and to be open about the fact that, like, at all the things I've been walking through, all the things I've been feeling. And he's shown up and, you know, that's it. It's not that we're great at marriage now or like anything like that. Really, it's just like been baby steps. And that's been challenging because I'm like a problem solver. I like to feel like I'm achieving things and taking care of problems and don't like to like linger in things too long. And the reality is this has just been baby steps. But regardless, you know, it's not our timing that matters. And God has shown up and, you know, helped me to just step out of my comfort zone in ways that I never thought I could on my own. I never could on my own. And has helped me to be more open with communication. Like I said, that's hard. And that's been a lifesaver to just keep Jacob and I on the same page. And I know that, you know, he's also provided Jacob with the patience and, you know, the words that I need and the ability to just love me where I'm at. And I think just all of that kind of working together has really helped us to be like, okay, like it's little things and it's given us, you know, the hope though to like keep moving forward. Like, okay, no, we are getting somewhere and we are growing in this. And just knowing, you know, the way like what Christ has done for us and how much he sacrificially loves us, it's really been a game changer for just continuing to try to mirror that in marriage, and that we're not necessarily always happy with where we're at in that moment or happy with what the other person's doing, but just still really trying to love each other through it anyways.
Yeah.
Is really, you know, just helping us keep moving forward. And I think the more that that happens, the more I'm kind of getting out of that space of something bad's gonna happen, I just know it. Like, no, it's been this long and we are here for each other and it's like, it's good. And we both have those positive desires for each other. And so just trying to really believe that, I guess, that, you know, God put us here together and we are doing what we're supposed to be doing right now. And we need to just, you know, trust in that, that we are for each other and that this is good and that God is with us in it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's awesome because I think my inclination would be, and I'm sure you've felt this at times, to be like, I need to figure out how to fix it on my own. And, you know, I think like you said, you're a problem solver. So I think that would take a lot of trust to just admit even to yourself and to Jacob that it's a hard issue. It's not like, you know, we can work on our behavior to a certain degree, but yeah, at the root of it is your heart. And so I think it's really cool that you guys have both just continued and chosen to depend on God through it. Because I think it'd be really easy to either just try to fix it for each other and be everything for each other or do it yourself. And it seems like, you know, you guys have kept your eyes on the Lord through it. And that's what's made you stronger, which is really, really cool. So what would you, like, what maybe two pieces of advice would you give to a newly married couple or an engaged couple who's about to get married?
I think going back to the biggest thing is, you know, being able to communicate with your spouse. And even when it's hard, I think that's the big thing. I think a lot of people think they're good communicators until you're married. And, you know, or other situations obviously can bring that to light as well. But like I said, in a marriage where it's like, this is so hard and I just want to run away right now, or I'm so upset with you and I want to say things that I don't mean because I'm hurt, like, you just really see all of your communication flaws in that setting. And I think the big thing for communication in marriage is just to always choose to communicate rather than, you know, shut down, walk away, hold it in, whatever it is. And not always instantly, you know, just like with anybody else, sometimes if you're very upset or you're very hurt or whatever it is, like, you need some time to process, because speaking out of, you know, emotion, it can be really detrimental. But even if it's not in the moment, verbalizing that, like, I know we need to talk about this, but I need a minute first. And then coming back is enough to just, you know, still keep the door open and let the other person know what's going on with you, because they don't always, you know. And
yeah,
you know, there's just so much to work through on a daily basis and so many opportunities when you're with somebody all the time to step on toes and say things that are hurtful or do things that are hurtful or whatever it might be. And having a communication between the two of you to be able to acknowledge those things when they happen or shortly after is just such a game changer for, you know, not building up resentment toward each other or having these unsolved issues or, you know, going and running to other people. If it's like finding outlets outside of your marriage, and sometimes that's needed, but your spouse should be your go-to first, you know, for all of those things. And so you're not seeking that elsewhere because you don't have the communication with your spouse. And things like that. So definitely prioritizing communication, even if you have to stare at the floor, whatever it is, like, get it out. It feels better after it's out, and it helps. Also, gosh, I think giving more than you expect to receive, and like I said, you just come so close to seeing how selfish you are so quickly, but you get so much more out of your marriage when you are trying to love your spouse rather than trying to benefit yourself or love yourself. So I think, you know, just always trying to be of the mindset of, you know, what can I do in this situation that would be loving my spouse well? Or what can I do in this situation? Like, if you're making choices, if you're whatever it is, you know, finances, how you spend your time, whatever it is, really thinking about your spouse first and their thoughts on it or what they would say, and just trying to put that before yourself. It's really hard at first because, like, you come from putting yourself first all the time, but in always, you know, being considerate of the fact that, you know, you're a team now tends to avoid a lot of, you know, miscommunication because you have thought things through before doing things that may hurt the other person or anything like that. But communicating, loving your spouse before yourself.
Simple things.
Yeah. Seems like it.
I'm kidding. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. If you could give two pieces of advice to your single friends, or if you could go back and talk to single Kara 3 years ago, what would you tell us?
Ooh, all right. I think the big point is marriage is not the end all be all goal for your life that's going to take away all your problems and make you happy.
Noted.
I mean, we're at an age, like you said, we're kind of in that age gap where a lot of people are getting married, are engaged, are dating seriously, whatever it is. And it's hard to be the friend that's single. And it's like this goal, like you said, that you feel like, well, everybody else has made it, or, you know, they're there. And, like, I just think it's really important for anybody that's not in that setting to just know the reality. Like, marriage is awesome. I'm not discrediting that, but God has plans for everyone, and there's so much to be gained and learned and developed in singleness. And that's such a gift. And it doesn't always feel like that at the time, but being married is not going to change or fix or anything, the struggles or the problems or whatever you feel like you're facing as a single person. You know, it's all about,
just, you know, looks different.
Yeah, it's just a perspective thing. You know, it's great, it's wonderful, but it's work, and it opens up a lot of new challenges. Yeah, so just, I think, continuing to focus on, you know, where you're at, what God has for you, exactly where you're at, and embracing that, and, you know, just taking all of those gifts in being single for what they're worth and using them well is really important. And, you know, obviously you want to be, if that's, you know, what you want for yourself and what you feel God has for you, there's nothing wrong with praying for your spouse, you know, and desiring that. But I think just not getting caught up in the mindset that, you know, that's going to be it for me is so important.
Yeah. And I think a way sometimes, at least, that I cope with that, like, is, like, if I feel myself feeling sorry for myself, like, oh, I wish I was, you know, dating someone or married or whatever. I think sometimes the way I try to cope is being like, just kidding, that would suck. You know, like, I just think about all the bad things about it.
Yeah.
To make myself feel better and be like, no, this is great. I don't have to worry about anyone but myself. And I can, you know, like, do whatever I want. And that's not inherently wrong all the time. But I think when I do that, at least, it's not, like, the best way to deal with that and to cope with that, because it's neither all good or all bad. And neither is singleness, you know, like, nothing, no stage of our lives are all good or all bad. There's so many different complexities to humans, let alone like the stage of life that they're in and all the things that go with that. So I think more of advice to myself, but any other single person who feels like they do that too. Yeah, not battle your like, I don't know, your envy or your loneliness or your sadness of, you know, to not cope with like just, I guess, shutting it down and convincing yourself that it's not actually what you really want, you know?
Yeah.
Because I definitely find myself doing that and it just hardens you and that's not the best way to deal with it. I think, you know, like you said, there's a lot of great things about being single. There's a lot of great things about being married. There's a lot of hard things about being single. There's a lot of hard things about being married and they just look different. And, but we're all just trying to get through it, you know, together and as best as we can. So that's helpful though.
I think also just kind of touching base from, you know, the beginning, talking about what should, you know, friends do for like newly married friends. And
yeah,
I think, you know, whether your friends are single or dating or married or whatever, but particularly for single friends who feel, you know, like, oh, well, I lost another one of my friends to marriage, you know, like, that's not necessarily the case. And I'm sure, and we've talked about this a little bit, that it definitely can feel that way sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think, like, another thought is just, you know, that you are still so needed in that relationship. And it might look different. It will look different. But I think as, you know, the single friend, you know, just trying to be open to what that means. And I'm not at all trying to say, like, that's easy for you. Figure it out. Like, no. Things are going to be different and you can't be sad about it, you know?
Yeah.
That's not it. But I think just rather than, like, shying away from still being able to maintain that relationship, rather just, you know, trying to be mindful about keeping an open mind to, like, okay, what's my new role here? And how can I, you know, support my friends in this new marriage? How can I, you know, still fit into that? And what can we do that's going to be different, but will help us to still be able to, you know, balance our relationship and grow together and things like that? But I think just, you know, valuing the fact that you are still so needed and sometimes even more so because there's so much going on in that first, you know, transitional phase of marriage. And sometimes there's no one to go to, you know, and whether you understand completely or not, like sometimes it's just needing somebody to check in or to listen, you know, to talk about some things or whatever it is. But yeah, just like knowing your value there, that no matter where you're at, your friends still need you and desire to have relationships with you, even though they're in marriage.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know and hear. And and it's good to just, I mean, for me, it's good to, just think about it that way of, you know, like my friends who are married, like they, like you said, they still need me and they still need support. And obviously, I know you still need friends after you're married. But it just feels good to know that you still do have a role as a friend in your married friend's life and you shouldn't stop, you know, asking them intentional questions. Now, I would not ask you a question about your marriage that, like, I should not know, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. That's awesome, too, because, like, I think that's a hard thing, like, personally, I am kind of like an open book person. Like, if something's bothering me, you're going to know about it. Like, I wear my emotions on my sleeve. And so, like, that was something I had to learn also, is like, our marriage is for us. And it's not loving to go around and spread your dirty laundry and your problems to, you know, your family and your friends either.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, you do need support, but just being aware of what you're willing to share and sharing the good things along with the hard times is so important. You're the only one, you know, who gets a view of the full picture of your marriage. And if you're only sharing the negatives with your friends, then people are going to get concerned.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, just making sure that, you know, you share with the good and the bad and are just mindful about what actually needs to be shared outside of your marriage and what yeah. is better left in between you two, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm sure that there are, like, some good, probably, across the board boundaries for that, but I'm sure mm-hmm. it also probably depends on the couple, like, what boundaries they've determined, you know, maybe, I don't know, like...
Yeah.
Hey, would we be willing to talk to our friends about this if this was going on, or is it okay yeah. if I tell my friends this? That's hard though, because like, what if you really want to talk to someone about it, but it's like a thing that you can't talk about, you know?
Yeah, yeah, and I think, you know, those conversations just need to, you know, keep being had in your marriage of like, mm-hmm. hey, but what if, you know, for our mental health and well-being, you know, we have to have this conversation with somebody, you know, whether you like lose the boundary with a counselor or like somebody that is not biased and not present in your marriage as a whole, you know, maybe that's your outlet then of like, mm-hmm. hey, I can talk to this person about whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just, you know, if it's something, you know, you have a go-to person that you're comfortable talking to things about or like,
yeah.
you just really express in your marriage, like, hey, this is a hard thing, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to you at all, but I think it would be beneficial if I could, you know, just chat about it with somebody else and kind of just get some yeah. insight or an opportunity to get some things off my chest. And yeah. there's got to be room for that, too. You know, you have to meet each other's needs.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, too, like, if you were struggling with something that, like, Jacob just couldn't understand or... Mm-hmm. He was part of the problem. I hate yeah. to, like, throw Jacob under the bus. just for an example. It's not real. This is just an example. But, like, if that were the scenario and you're like, I cannot talk to you about this because you either don't get it or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. I tried to, but, like, I can't. It's not helping me. And I feel really yeah. alone in this. Like, hopefully your partner would want you to get support that you need. Mm-hmm. And they'd be willing maybe to talk through that with you. Like, okay, I'm going to go try to figure out how I can understand you. And you can go...
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, that's interesting. Good stuff yeah, to think
about.
Yeah,
just kind of working through those scenarios, like, as they come up. Because, you yeah. know, there are things that aren't a big deal, you know, share with other people. And then there are bigger issues to walk through. And it's like, okay, what do we do now that we've come here, you know?
Right, yeah. And I think, like you said, yeah, as long as you're respecting your partner and you guys are on the same page and you're sharing the good and the bad, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, yeah, it's interesting because I think in, you know, like my friendships with people who've gotten married, which I don't know, I feel like I have 5 or 6 maybe good friends yeah. who've gotten married. And I've always felt weird after, like, I don't, that just tension of like, I don't want to pry into your mm-hmm. life and I don't want to be like intrusive, and I know that you guys, like, they come first now and you know, whatever, but
yeah,
I can see maybe how I've like let that go, I don't know, a little too far, in the sense of just I've felt like, oh well, that's over, you know. I don't know, like,
yeah, like it's not my problem anymore or something. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that, or maybe just like, I'm just not gonna be important anymore, like that's just how it is, you know. And that's not yeah. true.
No, definitely not. Right, yeah, you don't just delete the friends that you had pre-marriage. yeah, it's so important to just have those good and like your good, solid outlets in your friendship. So, you know, mm-hmm. everybody has their acquaintances and things too, but like when you're really, you know, working on trying to blend separate lives mm-hmm. into one marriage, like there's a lot of heavy stuff that yeah. comes up, and just having your go-to people that, you know, will lead you in the right direction and be truthful with you and give you sound advice that's, you know, positive for mm-hmm. your heart and your marriage and things like that. It's just so important because
yeah.
nobody's meant to do this thing alone either.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think about, like, at weddings usually, you know, mm-hmm. they'll say to the audience or whatever, like, do you guys promise to support these two?
Right.
You know, and like help them stay committed to each other, whatever it is. And then we're all like, we do, or whatever. I think yeah, we did that at, like, your wedding. I think we did
probably,
that at your
yeah.
wedding.
Yeah, and there's like so much more weight to that, I feel like.
Yeah.
you feel in the moment. Like, I at least personally, like, as a guest to most weddings, you know, unless it's, like, a very, very close relationship, I feel like as a guest to most weddings, you're, like, excited, but you're not really thinking about, like, your role in it.
Yeah, which maybe, you know, maybe you won't have to, but, I mean, for people that you know, okay, I'm going to be in this person's life probably forever.
Right, like, or even if I'm wedding, that's a big thing.
Yeah, know? And even if you're not, you know, if something happens and they come to me or we reconnect later in life, like, how am I gonna support them in their marriage, or am I gonna just be like, oh, whatever, just do whatever you want, you
know? Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. And there are lines there. Yeah, like, I feel like it could be hard if you, like, one of your really good friends gets married and then they come to you and they're just telling you all the bad stuff, and you're like, gosh, I want you to not be with this dude anymore. He sucks, you know?
Right.
Like, that'd be hard.
And that's, like, everyone's instinct, right? Like, you're not, like,
oh, for sure.
I really just need to get off my chest how happy I am right now and how great this morning was. And, like, no. Like, the stuff that you want to talk about when you're out of your house and that, like, new environment is everything that you've been, like, bottling up and frustrated with over that period of time. So it's just so natural to go in that direction.
Yeah, and that's where you are tested as the friend of, like, okay, if your married friend comes to you saying those things, are you gonna just, like, feed into that and cause, like, help stir more division, or are you gonna, like, try to help them, point them to the truth, to work on their marriage? And I mean, there is a line there. If, like, you know, someone comes to me and they're like, hey, my husband's hitting me, you know, that's different. But yeah, if, you know, that kind of thing, like, that's where you have a choice of, am I gonna try to support? That's where your vow comes in, I guess, as the friend. Or just encouraging, you know, sometimes, like, people go through really hard things outside of their marriage, but then it affects the marriage, you know, if you lose a child, or, I mean, any, like, lose a parent, or, I don't know, lose a job, like, there's so many different things that can happen externally, but then that can really start to affect your relationship. And so, yeah, as the friend looking in, how are you encouraging your married friend to pursue their spouse and love them well and all that stuff? That's good to think about as the friends. And married friends for married friends, you know, like, that's all of us.
Okay, so I want to go back to the single person. We got cut off there last time, and you were giving some great advice for the single people out there who may want to be married someday. So give me the rest of your advice with that.
Yeah. I think the big thing first is just to be focusing on, you know, where you are at and what you're looking for. And, you know, it's cheesy and people say it all the time, but, like, be what you're seeking. I don't think that's an end-all be-all rule, but I do think there's something to be said for preparing yourself for, you know, the husband or the wife that you desire. Just to be, you know, thinking about your choices and knowing that, hey, if I meet my husband tomorrow, am I going to, you know, regret what I've been doing for the past 3 months or something? Like, I don't know. Just always kind of being cautious of, you know, am I doing what I want my future spouse to be doing and, like, preparing for our relationship? But also in that, just in not settling either. I think it's really natural, particularly for women, but I'm sure it happens with men as well, to just desire marriage as this goal or milestone. It's like, oh, I just have to get there.
Yeah.
And I think there's just sometimes, I mean, for a lot of people it happens, and for some people it doesn't, and that's okay too. But regardless, whatever is, you know, meant for you, it's not going to be right or be all that marriage can be if it's not with the right person or at the right time. And even though it might feel like your goal is achieved if you find somebody to marry, if it's not the person for you, it's not going to be, you know, all it can be. Marriage is great and wonderful and awesome in its design, But if it's not in its design, if it's with the wrong person, if it's forced or whatever it may be, all of those troubles that come in a good marriage will still be there without the, you know, positives and the love and support,
yeah,
and growth and unity that comes, you know, with the right person. And there's always room to build that. And, you know, I don't think any marriage is hopeless, but mm-hmm. I guess bottom line, you know, just being that, even though it feels so desirable, mm-hmm. It's hard work too. And so
yeah,
it's just worth, you know, being patient and trusting God and not settling into that kind of commitment unless it's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, anyone really could get married. I mean,
yeah,
you could pick someone off the street. You could, you know, the first one that, I don't know, you could find someone to marry if you really wanted to be married, but
is yeah, it, just like check that box off your wish list.
Yeah. Yeah, is it a marriage that would be glorifying to God? Yeah. Well, yeah, that is really good advice for the single people and the married people. Do you have anything else you'd like to share or any more wisdom you'd like to bestow upon us?
Oh my goodness. I wish I had more wisdom to bestow on you. I still feel
well,
that
you will.
I'm at the amateur level here, but yeah, I guess something that's just come up, you know, very recently that kind of is on my heart. This was something from Andy Stanley, who's a pastor in Georgia, but he has some marriage talks and sermons that he shares online and things like that. And one that I listened to recently shared just a kind of cool overarching statement for kind of just thinking through your actions and your choices in marriage. It was just mm-hmm. that it's a race for last place and kind mm-hmm. of a contest for submission, which is just really cool. I think it's hard and we are so prone to, you know, being selfish and going into things and wanting what's best for us and what we want first and all of that. But I think, you know, there's a lot of obstacles to walk through and choices to make and things like that in blending a marriage, but following through with always kind of coming back to that mindset.
Yeah.
In every choice and every, you know, word you speak and action you take and things like that, you know, am I doing this for me or is this what's best for my marriage or my spouse? And like,
yeah,
am I choosing to put them first here? You know, what's going to serve them well and love them well? Just the way that mutual respect builds from always thinking of the other person before yourself in everything you do really leads to an opportunity to just be loving each other well and feeling respected and growing in that so easily whenever that's mm-hmm. your mindset day to day.
Yeah. I've heard people say too that you want to marry someone who will help you in mm-hmm. life and your relationship with the Lord. Like, yeah, marriage is two people helping each other really to make it through life and
yeah,
make it to the end and be pursuing God in the midst of that and living that out. So if you feel like the person you're with helps you in that area, helps you pursue Jesus more and harder,
right,
that's a pretty good sign. And agreed. If they don't, that's also a pretty good sign that maybe you shouldn't marry them.
In the opposite direction, yes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And there's so yeah. much that goes into like picking the person or knowing that's a whole separate conversation. But
choosing a spouse.
Yeah. Who to marry. But yes, I think that's good advice and good things to remember. So thanks for sharing all of that with us and your story and your advice and things that you've learned over the last few years. And I think people who listen to this, aka Katie Williams, who I know for sure will listen to this episode, I think they will appreciate all that you have shared and that they will be encouraged. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it, getting the opportunity to just kind of shed some light and hopefully, you know, be some encouragement and support for people, you know, walking through that time, because there's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
And it helps to just get, you know, some positive insight to, you know, what's the next right thing for me right now. So mm-hmm. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Hey friends, hope you all enjoyed the show. Feel free to check out the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Leave a review, leave a rating, subscribe so you don't miss anything. And I hope you will be back and join us in the future.